So they call the congregation the Sunday after Christmas the faithful remnant. Because some folks that were real excited and happy about Christmas, that's over now and they're home. But I'm just glad you're all here. And I see some kids too, so we'll have some time together. Hope your Christmas was wonderful. And this week is another celebration. I'm not ready for that. But the New Year's coming no matter what. So we're glad you joined us for worship today. We're gonna do some different things today, some more laid-back kinds of things. We're not going to have a sermon, even though it says there's a sermon in the bulletin. We're going to read the scriptures and talk about them a little bit, which I thought about this week. And think about the idea that we need to leave some things behind in 2019, and we need to jump ahead into 2020. And what's going to be different? Now, I'm not talking about New Year's resolutions, because those are going to come and go. I love it. Every year at this time in the newspaper, there's a big ad. The YMCA will accept you as a member with no initiation fee. And you'll get that little card. And till February, you'll go very seriously. And then all of a sudden, just having the card will be enough for you, maybe. Right? First thing we're going to do, though, is we're going to ask you to pull your hymn book out, which is in front of you, a blue one. And we're going to sing three different Christmas carols that somebody is, their lower lip is quivering because we didn't get to them this year. And we want you to, oh, before we do that, prayer time is later, but you know, Pat's here today, and Pat wasn't going to be here today. John is due to have back surgery. And there was a snafu in Florida where he was heading to have that happen. So now they're sort of regrouping, and Pat said this morning they're going to do plan B. We'll leave that alone. That's a private thing. But nonetheless, pray for John. He's been in a lot of pain for a long time. And I remember when I went to my back surgeon before I had my L4 and 5 repaired, he said, "You'll let me know when you're ready." He didn't say you have to have it tomorrow. It took me almost 2 years to say yes. So I don't know how long it took John. Not very long. But nonetheless, just pray for a good end. And you know, it's hard to jump into the system if you don't have if you haven't been working through it. So appreciate that he got an opening, and we hope everything goes well for him. All right. What are we singing, guys? 49? 29. Okay, we'll do one, and you're next, okay? All right, 29 and 25 are the first two out of the three. So how many are in 29? So we'll just do the first and the last, whatever it is, okay? That's a good thing to do. think we sang it at all the whole season, so I'm so glad we had that one in there. Thank you. Who else? One more.
Twenty-three.
Thank you, Kathy. I knew we'd get there. Paintbrushes to Reverend Eileen to help her paint Sean and Tao's new house. And they're brand new. I mean, Dad just had piles of brand new stuff sitting around. So if you ever need to borrow something, whisper in my ear. By the way, I'm also happy to see I see some families visiting. And Clyde is with us again. We're so glad about that. And Bruce and Cindy. And the Durbins have some family in town. And let's see, am I missing anybody else? By the way, you can almost see everybody this morning at a glance. That doesn't usually happen. So, I want you to find Psalm 148. Remember, there's 150 Psalms, so there's only two. We're not putting anything on the screen today, so we're going to take a look at various scriptures. And if you could have a Bible handy, that will be helpful for you as you follow along. All right. I'll do the even verses, so I'll start and you guys come in with the odd. No, I'll do the odd and you do the even. That's a better idea. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all beasts. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. King of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. Gracious God, all of us look so forward to the holidays in the church year. Christmas and Easter, especially, we look forward to. And we take 40 days to prepare ourselves for those events. And Lord, it seems like forever when we're waiting. But now it seems like, what happened to Christmas? It's gone already. So I'm asking today that what's important about Christmas isn't gone, and that it would stay with us and continue to influence us into the future. Our call as brothers and sisters in faith is to follow Christ, and not just to follow Him or play lip service to the need to be saved and to be part of the kingdom, but more importantly still, to act like Christ in our dealings with one another. That's certainly not easy, especially in a time such as ours, when political views tear families apart, when the misdistribution and uneven distribution of resources cause some to have so much and some to have so little or not at all. So this is a year of the Lord, 2020. We can look ahead to it with great expectation. We can move forward into it being better Christians and better brothers and sisters in Christ. We hope that the Holy Spirit would move in us, that what we need most would become evident, and that we would pursue it with our whole hearts. I pray for the SHINE program and ask that you would bless it and that it would be a success, that it would give an opportunity for families with young children to find a spiritual niche in the world and become a part of a congregation. We aren't part of a congregation the same way that we used to be. We're finding that out as adults. What happened in the 70s and 80s and even the 90s is not prevalent now. So the church needs to be something different. Different according to the world standards, not so much, but different in terms of how we reach out. Putting a sign by the road is no longer enough to accommodate our needs as a church to reach out. So help us to find ways to do that. All of our New Beginnings programs, we ask that those would thrive. Whatever age we are, Lord, you are going with us through the journey, so make us all useful in some way. We can't do what we used to do, but we can still do something. So right now, Lord, help us to worship and praise your name. Remember that we live in ordinary time. The special days are there, and you give them to us as a gift. But now we will trudge through the days and weeks when green is the primary color. And you will still amaze us, and you will still surprise us. So may we have eyes and ears to appreciate those things. In Jesus' name, we pray this morning. Amen. Number 56, and we'll stand and sing together. Out completely, so some of the things are a little vague, but six verses is a lot for that. little people and people with joy in their hearts that are older, come up and sit with us for a bit. We're going to have some time together. And I'm so glad to see you here today. I think Christmas Eve, we don't keep track of this, but I think we set a record for the number of children in church. It was really wonderful. Did you get a new baby for Christmas? And that's an Elsa, isn't it? I should know my Elsas by now. By the way, as people are coming forward, in my office I have a little card with Stephanie Olker's picture on it. She left us a few years ago after suffering for a very long time. She had Lyme disease undiagnosed for 14 years, and she grew up in Love Canal. I don't need to say anything more about that, I guess. Scotty's sick today. This flower arrangement is going over to the poster minutes after church today. This is a wonderful memory of Stephanie, and even in her suffering, she was so full of life. So prayers for Stephanie and for Scotty today as we remember her. See, I can't see over the top, so I'm going to come over here. So I wrote a poem today. Every year, usually this time of year, Mom, sorry, some of the words are a little big. My daughter's going to say this at lunch. You use too big of words. She says that frequently. But this is some ideas I feel. This is one of those Sundays that are, well, it's first of all, again, faithful remnant, low attendance kind of a thing. But the excitement of the build-up to Christmas, and then all of a sudden it's over, right? What do we do with that? So you listen, and if you don't understand it totally, hopefully moms and grandmas can help you do that. Just 4 days after Christmas, and already we find that things aren't quite normal. We're tired and we whine. How come it's all over, we think to ourselves. We waited so long, we planned and we decorated, we purchased and wrapped. And now that it's by us, we feel just like, begins with a C and ends with a P, and I won't say the word. It's hard to rhyme all the time, that's all I'm saying. But Christmas is over, a new year awaits, and that makes us nervous. But it's never too late to remember some things that never will change. God is with us for sure. Our Lord Jesus is so great. We move ahead without fear. We hold our heads high because God's Spirit will lead us. If only we try to live more like Jesus and work for what's true. To be brothers and sisters to all that we meet and try not to lie or to hate or to cheat, to share without getting and love all we need, to love them like Jesus and never retreat, because the world is so lacking in so many things, and we know that it matters. Whatever we do, not so good right there. Sorry about that. So in 2020, grab hold of your faith and worship and praise him and make his name great. We're in this together, and there's so much to do. So live just like it's Christmas. All year through. All right. I'm so glad to see you today. Thanks for coming. What? We have Sunday school today? We do. I know we do. There she is. See, Gail's not by the door. I don't know what to say. Have a good time at Sunday school today, and Happy New Year.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas. Yeah, let's not forget that, right? It hasn't been that long. Good to see you. You know you're tired after Christmas, you know what Georgia said? I helped you up, Mama. Yes, she did. All right, again, we're going to spend some time in the Bible this morning, as we do every week, but in a little different way. Nothing's going to be on the screen. I want you to pull out your Bible and find the first passage, and you're lucky, you have a page number there. I don't mark my spot because I figure what by the time I find it, you'll be there. We're in Isaiah, and interesting, we've said this already, but let's say it again. Why do we wind up in Isaiah every year at this time? Primarily because Isaiah is a prophet that has a lot to say about the coming of the Messiah. So we talk a lot about that throughout the days of Advent. We're looking at chapter 6, verses 7 to 9, not a long passage. Boy, I got this new Bible, and somehow the print is a little small. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, now that it has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out. By the way, what was the lips touched with? A hot coal. This is Isaiah at the beginning. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. Sound like here I am, Lord, the favorite hymn? I can't sing that without crying, by the way. And he said, go and say this to people. Keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Make the mind of the people dull and stop their ears and shut their eyes so that they may not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and comprehend with their mind and turn and be healed. I already went too far, but that's okay. All right, we're going to a second one. This is Hebrews. This is a hard one to find. And you know, sometimes kids, when they're looking through the Bible, they just keep looking. You have a very wonderful table of contents in your Bible. So please don't be afraid to use that. Because the wonderful authors went to a lot of trouble, especially when you're in the Old Testament and some of the minor prophets. Having a table of contents is good. Chapter 2, verses 10 to 18. And I'm getting there, so hopefully you are as well. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through suffering. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. And for this reason, Jesus is not ashamed call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death, he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. I guess we like chapter 2 because we're in Matthew now. And again, it's Matthew's gospel. This is year A of the lectionary, right? That was kind of disappointing. In Advent, we heard from Matthew, which is considerably different than Luke. Thankfully, we plugged Luke in on Christmas Eve. If you were here, you heard all of those wonderful stories. So what does Matthew have to say? We're in chapter 2 and we're beginning at verse 13. Now, remember what happened right after Christmas. All right, we got to look in on the idyllic visit from the shepherds and Mary and Joseph and the star. Now, there's a little discrepancy here about the wise men, right? The wise men arrived on Epiphany. There's no dating in Matthew, so we don't know how long before Mary and Joseph got up and fled to Egypt. So we don't have to worry about that. Time is not that important, but the events are certainly important. So chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. Now after they left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Then Joseph got up and took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what has been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my son. When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all of the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years older and under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then that was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentations, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead now." Then Joseph got up and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard about Archelaus, who was ruling over Judah in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. Then he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. May God grant us wisdom and understanding in this reading of his Old, New Testament, and Gospel word. Amen. Isn't it interesting how Matthew always backs up what happens with a prophecy from the Old Testament? And we talked about this the last Sunday in Advent, but Matthew was a very serious Jewish person, and he took his faith very seriously. So that's why we don't want to read that genealogy at the beginning of Matthew as part of the Christmas dialogue. Especially if you're a liturgist, you don't want to read that. But nonetheless, Matthew is very clear. Things tie together, right? What happened in ancient times, all the way back to the beginning, and what will happen at the unknown end time will be all in God's hands and is already in God's hands. So if you summarize what happened during Christmas in a theological way, I think it's easy to do in 3 points. Ha-ha, 3-point sermon. Didn't expect that, did you? The first one is this. God, who was removed from his creation, human beings, took it upon himself to become a human being like us. He became flesh, as the Bible says, and dwelt among us. Now, when you're flesh, a lot of things happen that gods aren't a part of necessarily. So God wanted to find out firsthand what it was like to be human. So the second thing we realize is that Jesus experienced life in some way as we do. Can you imagine Jesus crying or being sad? Can you imagine him wondering about everything like kids do? By the way, you can say, well, he knew it already, so he didn't need to wonder. I don't think that's true. I think God did not take away his humanness. Now, what do we say as the finality? We say he was human, but he never sinned. But I can imagine him as a little kid. Did he realize he could run faster than the other kids if he wanted to? I think about those kinds of things. Could he throw the ball farther? Could he think more deeply and answer questions before they were even asked? None of that is in the Bible, although I will say some of the Jewish midrash or famous rabbis who wrote down the parts that happened in between that nobody knows about, they mentioned some of those things. Jesus healed a little bird that was dead on the ground and things like that. I don't know if that's very important. The important thing is this. God became us. God dwelt among us, experienced the things that we experience. And then God did something truly amazing. And this is the best part of all. I was going to ask the kids today, what's the best thing you got for Christmas? But I bet none of them would have said Jesus, right? And what did we get when we got Jesus? We got somebody who overcame the one fear that was hanging over everybody's head, the fear of death. Now, you can say we're over that now, right? No, I don't think we are. When I experience what people go through at times of loss, when they lose a loved one, I experience firsthand what that's like. I did a funeral once for a 94-year-old man. And his family, which was numerous, sat in the first 4 rows and sobbed, literally sobbed, didn't hear a thing I said. They were sobbing so bad. And afterwards, I talked to him. I said, what's going on? And they said, well, we've lost our father, and he's gone, and we feel so bad about that. So I never got a chance to talk to him again, but I realized, what were they missing in their grieving? That God provided something that we couldn't provide for ourselves. That you're going to die, okay? Well, I shouldn't say that the day after Christmas or the Sunday after Christmas. That's too sad. But we're all heading that way. But because of what Jesus did, do we have to be afraid of that? It's still a mystery, and it's still going to cause us maybe some anxiety. But the reality is, if this world is as good as it is, even with all the problems it has, What's coming, provided by an all-loving, benevolent God, is going to be even that much greater. Now, we use our human minds and we say, I wonder, are there golf courses in heaven? Do we get to play in heaven like we went to the Museum of Play yesterday? Boy, was I tired. And yet, I love that place. You watch moms and grandmas and everybody crawling around on the floor and playing. I wonder if we're going to get to do those things. And I say to myself, you know what? If those are so wonderful, God's not going to take those things away. We're not going to sit on a cloud in a white uniform playing a harp or something for the rest of eternity. All the things that we love and care about, the people we've lost, are going to be right there. I always say this at every funeral. We're going to have a reunion someday, and it's going to be a great reunion. Who am I looking forward to seeing? So many people, countless people. Mrs. Denson comes to mind when I think about her. Her loving spirit, and how my girls tell me every once in a while Mrs. Denson would slip them a $10 bill or something and say, don't tell your father I did that. I found out afterwards, though, but that's the kind of person she was. By the way, I'm not trying to leave anybody out, but I'm thinking about her right now for some reason. She had more faith in her finger than I have in my whole body, and I love being around her. She shared that with everybody. Fred, you were the great administrator. I said, if I need somebody to run a committee, I'm calling up Fred. If I need somebody to give me a hug or talk to me about being loved, I might call Fred, but I definitely would call Mrs. Denson. I'll leave that there. I didn't want to make you sad. I'm just letting you know. By the way, there's countless people like that from this church and every church I've served. When I was cutting wood with Rachel yesterday for the new shine room, I was thinking about my dad. His table saw without the guard on it. Don't get your fingers in the way, which he did once or twice in his career. So this wonderful life we have, that's not going away, folks. All right? Actually, I'm kind of glad eventually the decorations are going to come down. The stuff that needs to go back to the store and exchanged or re-gifted, that'll happen. But the stuff that really is important about Christmas is going with us into the new year. Now, this is a time of year, again, when we look back fondly or sadly, but certainly with a reflection, we look back at our lives, and then we step over the threshold of a new year. Do we have a choice on that? We don't, do we? We have to go. God's taken us somewhere, and we have to trust and follow. All of these passages talk about that need to trust and follow. I love what Isaiah says. You're going to have ears, but you're not going to hear. You're going to have eyes, but you're not going to see. It doesn't say that God takes away your ability to do those things. What happens to us? We get older. We get set in our ways. We forget what it's like. What did Fred, Mr. Rogers say? Remember what it was like when you were a child. It's hard for us to do that, isn't it? But so many wonderful things are in us because of that experience. And if we can just reconnect with that, the trust we need for 2020 is going to be there. Do we have challenges? You betcha. I didn't read my paper yet today, but there's all kinds of challenges in that paper. And the church has challenges. By the way, we'll talk about this not today, but as we go along. We had some wonderful gifts given to our church this year, monetary and other ways, so that we find ourselves right now in a fairly good place. Now, does that mean we're there permanently? Woohoo, we're done. No, we're not, right? We still have a lot of work to do. But so many wonderful things happened that we didn't expect and we didn't think were going to happen. And now, here we are stepping into 2020 in a good way. By the way, I need to ask, is Karen still with us? Do we know if Karen's still? I haven't looked on Caring Bridge yet today, but I do know that she's getting weaker. Karen Gibson was Anita DeWitt's daughter by her first marriage. That husband passed away in battle in World War II. So Karen has pancreatic cancer. Ronnie Klusterman has brain cancer. Think about these folks, right? Ronnie tells me every time I see him, I'm not afraid. I know where I'm going. Am I sad to leave early? Yeah, probably. But I know where I'm going. And you know what both Ronnie and Judy say, and this is no secret, they'll tell you if you sit with them. We're going to see that daughter we lost when she was 5 years old, and we're looking forward to that. So, I don't know how you're feeling today. The fact that you're here means you're a person of faith. You know that it's not just about a day or presents or any of that stuff or decorations. It's about going off into the future with the assuredness that what God has done in the past will carry us to a better place, and not even death can make us afraid. By the way, I'm grateful. I'm looking at the Honey Brinks. Josh got some better than terrible news, and he's still got a ways to go, but he's okay. He's going to be okay. May I say what he told you, Gay? Gay said, he goes, "How are you today?" when he came down to breakfast after the day they went to the doctor. And he said, "You know, my face is broken, but I'm okay." There's a guy with faith. And I know where he got it from, you two and others. So listen, guys, we're going together into a new year. I miss Christmas a little bit, but you know what? I'm excited about the prospect of moving out in faith. And Eileen has said this, and I have. Whenever we're struggling, for whatever reason, something good happens. The Holy Spirit bolsters us and empowers us, and we wind up in a better place. So, hope you had a great Christmas. Looking forward to moving forward in faith. And oh, by the way, those people that we lose this year are going to become part of the great cloud of witnesses that are going to keep influencing us. Like, I forgot Bob. Bob and Kathy are both influencing us still, and that'll keep happening. Thanks be to God. Amen. So we'll stop a minute. We should do this often, but we don't. What have you done this past week that you wish you hadn't? And what didn't you do that you are sorry about, because you know darn well that God would have appreciated if you did it? Yesterday I was riding with Jeremy I got off at Culver Road, and there's that person with the card that says, "I'm homeless and a veteran." I said, "I'm not giving him anything." I did give him something. I couldn't help myself. Did it matter that much? I don't know, but I just felt this sense that's what needed to happen. When you get an opportunity like that, don't close your eyes, and I'm not saying just when you're driving your car. There's going to be a lot of opportunities to reach out this year. Take advantage of that. So let's just pray in silence what's on your mind with God and confess your sins. The Apostle Paul says this: "So often I do the things that I should not do." And then he says right after that, "And I leave undone the things that I know I should do." Paul hits the nail on the head. It's that way for all of us. Whatever happened to us this past week that caused us to fall short of your glory, we ask for your forgiveness and we apologize for that. More importantly, we ask that this coming week and the weeks ahead, we would get better and step out in faith and do the things that you would have us do. But we know, even in advance, that we are forgiven. That's a gift that we can't earn ourselves. So Martin Luther said, "Sin boldly." He didn't mean that we should sin all the time. He just meant that because of forgiveness, we should step out and do the best we can and work as hard as we can, even if sometimes we fail. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, you are forgiven. Amen. We'll stay seated and find hymn number 54. This might be a new one, and we'll sing it together. gifts, large and small, that have been given in this Christmas holiday season and throughout the whole year, we give you thanks for generosity, God. And you are the author of that generosity. May all of these gifts in your hands be multiplied, and may they find their way to the exact right place so that the kingdom of God may become aware in this world and grow. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated. Jay, you got a mic we could walk around? Geez, you're going to do that job too, huh? Okay. Prayers and concerns, joys and concerns that you might have today that we should be aware of. Again, the Klusterman family and others, Scotty Elkers.
Nikki's cousin Lori passed away completely unexpectedly 2 days ago.
Oh, my goodness.
So prayers for her family, please.
Sorry. Nikki's sister? Cousin Lori passed away suddenly.
My son was in Australia and has his doctorate degree. And he has two interviews, one in San Francisco and one in Washington State. So we'll see what happens.
Does he have a preference for which place?
He lived in Frisco and he liked it.
All right, so there's our first prayer. Plan B is Washington State. Kathy? Oh, we got...
Could I ask for prayers for my friend Randy? His mom passed away after a very long battle on Christmas Day.
Okay, prayers for Randy. Hey, Ruth. Ruth Huboy right there?
Prayers for Andrew. My son-in-law, he fell again and is in bad shape.
Prayers for Andrew.
We'd like prayers for our granddaughter, Sarah, who's 9 years old and was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes just 2 days before Christmas and spent until the day after Christmas at Golisano and Strong. But she's doing better, but it's a real learning curve for her and her, and burden, extra burden for her and her parents. So we just like prayers for them.
Petey's 5 years old today, and I think he has a cold, so he's home with his dad.
I would just like to thank all of you for your prayers for Joshua. We found out yesterday that the paralysis on his left side of his face is Bell's palsy, and we've started medicine for that, but his oncologist wants us to have an MRI just to make sure that everything is okay with him. So we're waiting for an appointment, hopefully to have that done this coming week. But once again, I want to thank you for your love and for your support. And I would also like for you to pray for my brother, who I found out on Thursday is in the beginning stages of Alzheimer's. And his name is Ron. Thank you.
Prayers for Josh and Ron. Who else? Anyone? Oh, Linda's got one here, I think.
I want to thank everybody for their prayers after my fall. It was quite an excruciating experience, but I'm much better now, and thank you, everybody. So wonderful. I know the prayers that could fill them. Thank you.
Thanks, Linda. Glad you're recovering well from that. Tony, did you have your hand up? Oh, I just thought I saw a hand over there. Okay. Anybody else? Thanks, Jay. Let's pray a minute. Lord, I read an article this week by a woman who said that when she was a youngster, she would always ask her mother and father what they want for Christmas. And every year her mother would say this, "I don't want anything for Christmas. I just want us all to be together." And she said when she was young, that always disturbed her and made her angry. But now that she's a mom herself, you know what she says to her own kids? She says, "All I want is for all of us to be together on Christmas." Now, I know that over the course of several weeks, a lot of families in this church experience that community and that togetherness. Whenever you can get your kids all together, I thought that would be easy after they left. But it's not easy at all, is it? So, Lord, thank you for all of those reunions that we've had. Whether they were on Christmas or weeks before or after, they still are precious and special. I went to the Museum of Play yesterday and saw all kinds of families just enjoying themselves and cherishing their children. And, Lord, that's one of the things that's so needed in our world. There's so many children that don't have that closeness or that family. So, Lord, this is a new year with new possibilities. We know indeed that your plan is in effect and we can trust it. So let us go forward boldly into the new year with the tools that we have as brothers and sisters in faith and share that faith with others. Not easy thing to do, but sometimes just reaching out in love and care, having a person over for lunch or dinner or sitting and listening to them or offering a hug or a crying shoulder is something beyond words special. Lord, we have faith concerns, but we also have concerns about our families. If we're underemployed or if some part of our existence is in jeopardy or we have doubts or fears about that, bolster us and remind us again that you are a God who is always in our life, always ready to be with us and to share with us and to listen to us. And I still lean heavily on that verse that says, with God all things are possible. So may it be so for us. We thank you for the faith that has been demonstrated this year, for all of the visible signs we have of our faith together. And we look forward to what's coming next with expectation. And we work out our faith with fear and trembling, as Paul advises us. And now we pray this prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, sing one more song and be on our way. Hold on to what is good. Return to no person evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Love and honor all God's children, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.